Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Interview on Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm Catherine Rose, and I'm joined here via Zoom this morning by Louise Brady and Lee House. Their film Ya'at Wune, Respect for All Things, recently premiered at the Anchorage International Film Festival last week. Louise and Lee, welcome.
Sheesh, thank you.
Good morning.
Well, first off, congratulations on the premiere of your film. And I'd like to give you both an opportunity to introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about the story of the film.
My Tlingit name is Kashich Tla, and I am Kiksadi from the Raven Moiety. And my family has been here a few thousand years, or as the elders would say, since time immemorial. And Kiksadi women are known as the Herring Ladies. And Lee, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself before we get into the film?
Yeah, thank you, Gunashish, for having us. My name is Lee House. I'm someone with white settler ancestry, and I've been living here in Sitka for about 5 years now. And I am honored also to be an adopted child of the Kiksadi. And Louise and I worked together on this film that we'll be talking about.
And when did the idea to make this film come about?
So folks probably remember Standing Rock, and there were some pretty disturbing videos, images going up on social media. And there were a number of people in Sitka, in Sitka, that were concerned. And it seemed like everybody was going around, gosh, we should do something. And so finally, I called my daughter, or I messaged her, my daughter, Dionne Brady, and said, okay, we're going to have a rally for Standing Rock. And so we had a rally at Totem Square. And again, people were like, well, we should do something. We should do a fundraiser. And so, yeah, I agreed. You know, somebody should do a fundraiser. And people were saying that for a week or two. And finally, we just decided to, okay, we'll do a fundraiser. And I was thinking along the lines of, you know, more like a clam chowder sale and fry bread sale. And then I was talking to different people in the community to see what we could get going. And Lakota Hardin came and said, oh, there's another group of people that would like to do a fundraiser for Standing Rock. And I was like, okay. And so we met at the back door, and Lakota said, oh, they want to do yoga for Standing Rock, and which is not something that I would have thought of completely, honestly. But I said, okay, we'll go ahead and meet. And so we met and had coffee and decided we'd work on something together. And that was the start of it. We ended up having a fundraiser. We had yoga, we had dancing, and then maybe Lee, you can talk about your part. And I think we raised close to $10,000.
Yeah, I was friends with folks who were at that first backdoor meeting, so I quickly caught wind of the event, and immediately was trying to figure out how I could plug in to participate and engage and help out. So that looked like all sorts of things, in addition to just showing up and being at that event, creating a big banner, or helping to create a big banner, getting everyone to sign it, write words of support and solidarity that was eventually sent down to Standing Rock. But yeah, that was largely where I came to meet Louise, Dionne, Lakota, everyone else. And from there, as soon as that, we had that energy and that momentum from that event, we were like, wow, that was powerful. And we all wanted to know how we could turn the eye inward and think about issues and movements that we could work on here in Sitka.
And so how did that evolve in the coming years?
Well, we had a meeting. I would say the core group of the Herring Protectors was probably 6 to 8, maybe a few more. And we had a potluck and we decided, well, let's continue to work together since, you know, it was some really amazing energy and amazing, talented people that came together. And so we started talking about what we could possibly do. And, you know, I had started working on the herring back in 97. I helped organize a group of people to testify at the Board of Fish, tribal citizens. And I had been hearing from some friends of mine who still go out and harvest herring eggs that they were really having a difficult time. So I suggested, well, you know, let's work on the herring. And I wasn't sure that anybody would even know what the issue was. And it was like 100%. Yes, let's work on the herring. And so I had been thinking about, you know, having a traditional gathering around herring, and their traditional gatherings are called ku'iks. And so we all agreed, well, yeah, let's work on the herring. And well, what can we do? I said, well, let's have a ku'ik. And then of course everybody said, well, what's a ku'ik? I said, well, it's really hard to explain, but let's start working on gifts. Let's start getting together. And we had a number of volunteers, amazing volunteers. Ed Peel started teaching people how to weave cedar bark. My brother, Ralph Grady, and Dorothy Gordon came in and taught people how to make miniature drums. Tiffany Justice started crocheting little fish to give away as gifts. So, and I don't know that I was ever able to explain to people what a ku'ik was, but we just started getting together like on a weekly basis, and we had to work on a pretty short timeline for the first Board of Fish meeting because they had moved it up like, I think, 2 months. And for a while we were meeting just every day too and making gifts. And it was quite, for me, it was quite the experience. And yeah.
It's funny that we talk about the bigger movement of it all and the ceremony and all of the amazing energy that goes into it. Because that's how we feel about with the film as well. The film feels like just a tiny drop in the bucket. That is celebrating and kind of bringing that forward, all of the important and incredible work that so many people have put in to this issue. And that it's just one piece of that much larger picture.
And it's a beautiful film. I watched it last night. It's really powerful. The images are so striking. There are powerful interviews, archival photos, and then these beautiful animations that illustrate the story of herring. So I wonder, for the listeners who maybe haven't seen it yet, can you speak a little bit more about the story the film tells?
I just feel like the whole process has been about, you know, us as a community, you know, not as, you know, the Native community or the settler, but us as the community of Sitka coming together and learning together. And I think for me, that's what has made it so powerful, is that, you know, I think that so many times we live in this one-dimensional world, and as far as the herring go, that the one dimension that we've had is the Board of Fish, where you have the opportunity to go in and you know, have 3 minutes to talk about the importance of herring. And to me, the whole process of the creating the film and creating the ku'ik and just creating this amazing community is, I think, what we have needed. Because we can't explain to people in 3 minutes, you know, what it means. And I think there was so much that was missing in the Western process of deciding mainly the economics, the money part of what herring is. And the making of the film allowed us to go into the historical context, which goes back thousands of years, and you know, the cultural context of why herring are so important to us and why Kiksaidi women are known as the herring ladies, and to help people understand in a deeper way that herring are so much more than an income to us, that we do have these thousands of years of history with herring, and that I think in a way to we hope, I think, that the film allows people to see, you know, what is possible, because there may have been other ku'iks and other opportunities for the Native community and the non-Native community to work together, but I don't think at such a deep level. And so I'm glad that you see the images as beautiful, because I do think they are powerful. And I think that that experience was powerful. And I think that one of the things that we struggle with, we as, I guess, human beings, is how we relate to each other. And I think that, you know, I was asking different people that were involved with this process after the ku'ik, first ku'ik, what did you learn from this process? And one of the people said, you know, before the ku'ik, I never would have thought of herring as sacred. And I think that's our hope. I think we have so many things going on in the world right now that are separating us, and that it is possible. It is possible with all the differences and all of the complicated history that we all have with each other, that we can come together.
And I feel like deep, the depth that you're talking about, that's exactly it. That's exactly the inspiration and the structure behind the film. It starts with chapter one, just basic foundational understanding of herring and how important they are to our ecosystem here in Southeast Alaska and to all of the animals that we know and love. And then it moves into the historical context and the deep, deep indigenous connection to that. And then from there, it starts to introduce that idea of the herring fishery and the issue of overfishing. But it doesn't focus on that. It rather introduces that as a conflict and what's at risk, but shows that a way forward and a way to truly honor these herring is by way of this ceremony component that we've been putting on for a few years at this point, and by way of reaching for those demonstrations of sovereignty and being able to really celebrate the herring, honor them, and use that as the vision to inspire people and move forward and advocate on behalf of the herring.
You've touched on this a little bit, but I want to ask about the opposition a little bit more to the way the state has managed the herring fishery, the commercial herring fishery, in the past. There's been pushback for years. Louise, you mentioned organizing a group to testify at the Board of Fish in 1997. In the film, Harvey Kitka says that it was only in 2019 when the fishery didn't happen, but it wasn't because of the opposition, but because of market demands. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit more to the history of that activism and opposition around the commercial fishery.
So the Sitka Tribe of Alaska has been actively approaching the Board of Fish on their management of the herring. And it's been, so in 1997, when I helped organize, I think we we had maybe a dozen, maybe a couple dozen people that went and testified. And so, and many of them were elders. And for me, it was really difficult. It was really heartbreaking to see that, you know, here were our elders, who, many of them who, you know, their first language was Tlingit. And, you know, to go into the Board of Fish, which is such a Western model, and you get 3 minutes. And, you know, the first elder that went up was one of our strongest, you know, advocates, Mark Jacobs Jr., and he was speaking in Tlingit. And then the 3 minutes is up, and, you know, there's recordings, and you can hear them saying, okay, your time is up. And he keeps on trying to speak, and he's like, no, your time is up. I'm sorry. And I think, you know, we've been kind of forced into that, that arena. And year after year, and I'm not speaking as, I'm just speaking as myself, as Louise, but it's been difficult to watch year after year, our elders and our culture bearers and our harvesters saying, you know, they're going to disappear, they're going to disappear, and to not get any action from the Board of Fish. And, you know, we're 25 years in now, and it's true. The only reason they have not fished is, you know, it had nothing to do with our testimony. And I think that's part of, also part of what I have seen, I've noticed, is that it was such a huge difference. It was so, for me, really beautiful to have our elders and culture bearers at the Kuik and to be able to talk about, you know, how long they've been going out and harvesting and how, you know, all of the waters of Sitka Sound were that beautiful turquoise blue, and just, you know, that given that time to say truly what herring are. And I think if nothing else, it's almost like going through the Western process was quieting our voice, was not allowing us the time and the space and the energy that we needed to be able to talk about this issue in the way that we needed to talk about it. And it was difficult because I do go to the elders, you know, I speak with, you know, Herman Davis. I go and talk with him about the Kuik. I've gone and talked with Ray Wilson, who is the Sade Honey, or the head of the Kiksadi clan, and said, you know, I'd like to do this. Is this okay? And then he okayed it, even though they weren't quite sure what I was doing. But, you know, people showed up. And I think that every year, it's just the first year we did it, it was like, well, what do you mean? Yeah, we'll come over. And then the second year, it was amazing because we got calls from people in Juneau and Ketchikan and, you know, Yakutat, and people saying, can I come over? And I think it's a powerful way for our voices to be heard. And I think it's a really powerful way to amplify that. And so when I, you know, Herman at first, I think a lot of people didn't understand where we were going with this. But once we started, Herman would call and say, okay, where are we going today? And he's like, you know, and he would say, yes, I'll be there. Yeah, because we showed up outside Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and we actually went to, what do they call it? It's they have a meeting with the industry, and we went there, and he just shows up and people show up. And I just feel like it's really added a lot to the activism and to the advocacy that we've needed for a long time.
What do you think the activism will look like next spring? What kinds of advocacy do you hope this film will spur, and what actions do you think will be taken next spring?
Well, we're hoping to use this film as a tool to be screened throughout communities in Southeast. We're hoping that people will host, you know, if we're in COVID times where people are going to host Zoom screenings within their communities. Because yeah, it really is something that affects and should be talked about all throughout the region. And that's exactly the model that the Kuik has, which is bringing people all throughout to Sitka. So we're hoping that people can use the film as a tool to continue that dialogue and to figure out their relationship to this issue and really to motivate and inspire action or some degree of engagement for this upcoming Board of Fish hearings in April.
I guess my hope too is like, you know, to me, what it's about too is like finding that connection to place. It's like, you know, we don't want to go into Ketchikan, or we don't want to go into other places and, you know, take over. We would like to see people organize in their own way around their own issues. And we've had some interest from other communities already saying, you know, like, how can we help you? Or we're afraid that, you know, there's some communities where the herring are starting to come back and they're saying, you know, we're worried that this is going to happen here. What can we do? But I also think that, you know, the activism, again, I think there's been a history of I guess anger within the Native community for a while against like conservation groups. And what I hope is that, you know, in all realms of activism, that people take a look at the Indigenous people in any area and understand that they're, I hope that people like come to understand like my connection to this land and to these waters and to herring eggs and to this place that I don't think many people understand, because I don't know how I would feel if there came a time when we didn't have herring eggs, because they are so important. And that people can celebrate Indigenous cultures, and that we can work together. Because that hasn't been the case. And I think really that that's the only way we're going to get through everything that's going on in this world. And I also think that it's really a beautiful way. There is so much anger, and there is so much, I think there has been a lot of hopelessness and a lot of tragedy this year. I think the activism does need to come out of love for this place and love for this community, and expand that understanding of community to not only, you know, our friends and our family, but yes, to the herring and to the forest and to the trees and to the greater community, because I really believe if we don't, that the amount of progress that we make is really going to be limited.
I think we've touched on everything you wanted to talk about this morning relating to the film. Is there anything else you'd like to add about herring or the film or plans for a Kuik next spring? I don't know, if probably it's too soon to talk about that, but anything else you'd like to add?
I would really love to shout out to all of the folks that helped with making this film. It was really this big collaborative collage almost, in that we've got footage that was donated by Sea Life Productions. We had a bunch of editing support from Element Agency, but we also received funding from Sustainable Southeast. We had historical photos from Alaska State Library. We had other footage and other photographs donated from videographers and photographers here. There was times where it was just like toting a camera around for the last 3 years, but also there was significant heavy lifts done by really generous folks, and it couldn't have been possible without all of them.
Yes. And if you would like to get involved, you can join our Facebook group, Herring Protectors, and we will be getting ready for possibly a ku'ik in the spring. But of course, as we know, everything depends on COVID. And we will also be getting ready for the Board of Fish meeting in Ketchikan in the end of April.
Oh, and I think I forgot the most obvious through line for it all. There was at that very first Standing Rock event, the Herring song was being performed, and we recorded it with video, and that is in this film about halfway through. And so, yeah, technically the project dates back to all the way 4 years ago.
Thank you both so much for taking the time to join me this morning. And if you are interested, you can join the Herring Protectors Facebook group, and I believe that's where folks can also see clips of the film, or maybe the film in its entirety, or they can reach out to you if they'd like to get a link to the film, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Have a great day.